You know, on hearing that, I almost did not feel like speaking. I feel so elated over the fact. Surely God is in this place and in our midst. But we must continue as the Lord would have us. We continue our subject, sowing and reaping. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me to our three basic scriptures, I call them. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Sowing and reaping. Galatians 6. You know, the last time Brother Craig moved this under the light, that's better. You see, beloved, that failure of sight will come with age. So my recommendation here to you is don't get old. Stay young. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Verse 23. But if he will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out. Psalm number 7. Verses 15 and 16. Psalm number 7. He made a pit, digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violence shall come upon his pate. That also means head. And you will remember that last time we saw the truth of this, that one reaps what he sows. You remember the case of Adonai Zedek? He cut off the right toes, the big toes, and the thumb of 70 people. And in the end, his two thumbs and big toes were cut off. You remember the story of Esther and Haman? He built a gallows. That gallows was for Mordecai. And he died on it. And then you remember Daniel? They plotted against him, and he was in a den of lions. The Lord saved Daniel, and those that plotted against him ended up in the den. We reap what we sow. Now tonight we want to take our study a little further. Turn with me, please, to Galatians. Again, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 8. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We are either sowing to the flesh or to the Spirit. How do you know when you're sowing to the flesh? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, the works, plural, works of the flesh are works, action, activity, performance. The flesh is always busy doing something. Now come with me to verse 22. But, I like those buts in the scripture, don't you? It makes such a contrast. But, the works, plural, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. You know, I remember in the English class, well, they taught us about the beautiful nuances in the English language. Do you know there are more of them in the Bible than anywhere else? Works, fruit. Works, activity. Action. On the go. Fruit. Have you ever heard fruit grow? Have you ever seen fruit grow? That was the question that the Lord asked in the book of Mark. The work of the flesh is active. The fruit of the Spirit, you don't even see it and don't hear it, but it's active and it works. Now let us look at the works of the Spirit. The works of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. The works of the... pardon me, I said works of the Spirit? Oh my. Please excuse me. But that too is probably age. So again, I say to you, don't get old. Then your memory won't slip. The works of the flesh are adultery. Pretty bad, isn't it? How do you define adultery? Matthew chapter 5. Adultery as the Lord defines it. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you, oh beloved, when you go home, read this chapter and read the contrast. What the law says, I say unto you. I remember a time years ago, Brother George probably remembers, when Brother Charles Rowles spoke on the subject. I say unto you, what the law says, what I say. Quite a contrast. Verse 27, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, oh my. Folks, don't look at me, look at the Bible. Whosoever looketh on a woman, pardon me, to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. That's the definition. That's one of the works of the flesh. What's the next work of the flesh? Fornication. Oh my, there's so much of that going on in this world today. Shacking. I had a patient many years ago, and it was near around this season. And when she was leaving the office, I said, well, give my regards to your husband. She said, oh, doctor, we ain't married. We just live together. Shacking up. A great football player died recently. Sean Taylor, you've heard of him? Now, whenever the news goes across or you read in the newspaper, we read that Sean Taylor left a girlfriend and a baby. When I was a boy, if that were true, you wouldn't hear it on the air. That was kept quiet. But now it's quite stylish to have living girlfriends and living boyfriends. fornication. Uncleanness. Oh my, what is uncleanness? Anything that is opposed to God, to cleanliness. The Word of God is pure and clean. Anything opposed to the Word of God is uncleanness. One of the works of the flesh. Lasciviousness. Oh my. What is that? The sky is the limit. Eat and drink to merry. Be merry today, for tomorrow we die. The sky is the limit. And at this season, young folks, beware. Beware of these Christmas parties. I remember when I was a first-year intern, one of the nurses invited me to her Christmas party. And I went to the Christmas party. And as I entered the home, they didn't have lights like these. They had little 10-watt bulbs. Little 10-watt bulbs. Odor of alcohol, smoke-filled. And I noticed the folks were calling each other by first name, very familiar. I said, this isn't the place for me. And I left immediately. The next morning, the nurse said to me, you didn't stay very long. I said, no. I was hoping that she would ask me why. But she never asked me why. I should have told her why. The sky's the limit. Christmas parties. I think of another Christmas party. Art Williams, he was chief of oral surgery. He said to me, Arthur, I'm giving a Christmas party. You're invited. I said, oh, Art, I don't go to those things. I don't find any satisfaction in them. He said, this one is going to be different. Fine. Now, working in our clinic was a secretary. She's like the ladies in this meeting. See, she was good looking. And had a good personality. She was just the right person to receive the patients. Patients coming in upset with pain. Oh, and she would cheer them up. Her very countenance, her speech. She was a good receptionist. She went to the party. The following week, when I looked for her in the clinic, she wasn't there. Christmas party. What happened? Her husband saw her talking to another man, and he thought that she was talking to him in too friendly a manner. And what happened? He took a knife. And that's always bothered me. Why would you go to a party with a knife? It seems to me you're looking for trouble. Don't you agree? He thought his wife was talking to this fellow too much and too familiar. Took the knife and slashed her across the face. My, my, my. Lasciviousness. The sky's the limit. Do what you want. The next one, idolatry. Or you say, oh, I don't worship the sun and the moon and the stars. But some of us worship our homes. I remember when I was living in New York, across the street from me was a neighbor. And he had a huge Cadillac car, black. Every Saturday he was out there polishing that car and cleaning the chrome and oh, my. One Saturday, I saw this. His child was a little toddler. You know how toddlers walk with their hands up? The little toddler was walking toward the car, and he yells out, don't touch that car, don't touch that car. The car and his own child, he preferred to have the child fall on the floor on the sidewalk rather than touch the car. The car was his idol. The car was his God. Let me read for you a description of an automobile. A great, gleaming, bechromed, rubber-footed, two-ton bale. How do you like that? That describes the cars that most people have. Great, gleaming, bechromed, rubber-footed, two-ton bale. Some make their car their God. Proverbs 28, please. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Did you hear me? Have you read it, beloved? He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Now, some of you know the poem Invictus. Some of you are familiar with that. Written by Mr. William Ernest Bentley. The last verse. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Oh, my, my, my. Such an ego. And do you know that's the attitude today? But thank God for the sisters. In reply to this, a sister wrote, Christ is the master of my feet. Christ is the captain of my soul. Isn't that beautiful? He said he was the master of his soul and the master of his feet. A certain man was working in a factory, many machines around. And he was famous for one statement, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there's a God. Oh, everybody knew. One day, a portion of his jacket, the coat that he was wearing, got caught in one of those machines. And the way it was, he would soon be caught under the wheels and crushed to death. You know what he said? Oh, God, help me. Someone heard and pressed the button to stop the machine. And when they were settled and quiet, they said to him, well, you said you don't believe in God. You said there is no God. And when you were in difficulty, you asked God to relieve you. How do you explain it? He said, if there is no God, there ought to be one. And that's what happens to all these atheists. They get to the point where they realize they need God. Again, years ago in New York City, I used to listen every night to a certain radio announcer. I liked his announcing and his analysis. And you remember the time that the men went to the moon? And then they got on the far side of the moon and lost contact with Earth, or Earth lost contact with them. He said, friends, we're out of contact with them. I am an atheist. I don't know how to pray. But you that know how to pray, please pray. My, my, my. And that's what happens to all these ungodly men when they get to the point in their lives where they have to admit that God is. Please pray. And the way people, you talk about ungodliness, the way they're behaving and performing today, you know what the ACLU is telling people? Don't say Merry Christmas. Don't say Christmas. C-H-R-I-S-T. Say Happy Holidays. You see? That way you get rid of Christ's name. Say Happy Holidays, but don't say Merry Christmas. And some other things. Oh, by the way, When I was a boy, Santa Claus used to say, ho, ho, ho. They tell us not to say ho, ho, ho anymore. Say ha, ha, ha. Trying to get rid of God. Don't say Merry Christmas. No, no. Say Happy Holiday. Get Christ out of it. Ungodliness. Idolatry. Worshipping here and worshipping there. Works of the flesh. Witchcraft. Oh my. Witchcraft. Horoscopes. Fortune telling. Beware, beloved, and you young people, don't get caught in this. I know a brother in New York that was caught up in witchcraft. And he got some powders from the witch and sprinkled them around in his house because he wanted his wife to change her behavior toward him. No, no. Don't be caught up in that sort of thing. Trafficking with evil spirits. The next thing, hatred, hostility. That's a work of the Spirit. I remember when I was at school, there was in the class a big, heavyset fellow. Well, he's a former football player, about 6 feet, 3 or 4, big and strapping. I had never done anything to him. But after he got to know me, he said, you know, Arthur, I hated you so much I could have killed you. Why? I still have no idea, except that I didn't gamble, and I didn't swear, and I didn't drink. That's about all he could have against me. Hatred, a root of the flesh. And do you know, beloved, that in this very nation, I mentioned the ACLU, and there are others that actually hate the believers. Hatred. The next one is variance. Hatred of such a degree that they would kill you if they could. And they're making rules in the public schools. You've heard the effort. On the coins are written, on our money, I should say, in God we trust. They're working hard to get that off the coins. Anti-God. Don't want us in God we trust. My, I haven't really getting old. The Pledge of Allegiance says, one nation under God. Take out under God. They don't want God in anything. Nothing. Emulations. Jealousy. You know why Cain killed Abel? Jealousy. Abel got the approval of God. Cain didn't like it and was so jealous that he killed his brother. Wrath. That's another of the works of the flesh. Bitter anger. Do you know, beloved, a man under the influence of anger behaves worse than a man under the influence of alcohol? Have you ever seen a real drunk? Well, I have. I've had to deal with them. And they can be pretty bad. And when a man loses his temper, he can be worse than a man under alcohol. Strife. Strife. Oh, there's some believers that like to stir up strife. They like strife. It is a work of the flesh. And not only do they like strife, but they start seditions to gather others with them. I remember years ago going to a meeting in Toronto, Canada. I am told that the total membership was around 100. The morning that I got there, there were just about 20 people there. A certain man led more than half of the saints away from the assembly. Pride. Read with me in 3 John, please. Pride. Third John, verse 9. Now, this is the Apostle John writing. You remember John? He rested on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that? Well, look at verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Can you imagine that? A man seeking position for himself, seeking to get up in the church, so-called. He wants the preeminence, and the Apostle John, he's trying to get him out of the meeting. Can you imagine that? But that's what happened. Divisions, seditions, and all of these terrible, terrible things. And then we read about lasciviousness. The sky's the limit. Do whatever you want to do. I'm in charge of my tongue and I'm in charge of my mouth. Read with me, please, in Psalm chapter 12. And this is how men feel today. Start at verse 1. Are we all there? Psalm 12. My children tell me that I go too fast. Well, I go fast because I've got all the scriptures marked off here. That's how I find them so quickly. So I'll slow down. Psalm 12. Help, Lord. Oh my. Do you know that's one of the shortest prayers that a believer can offer? What did Peter say when he was drowning? Help, Lord. And I've been at examinations. I remember one examiner looked at me as if he was looking through me. And he asked me a question. I said, help, Lord. And would you know it? Would you believe it? The question that he asked me, I had read the answer to it the night before. Oh, my. Help, Lord. Try it when you're in trouble. Try it when you're in a difficult situation. Just say, help, Lord. But let's read on. The ungodly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all the flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud words. Now, verse 4. We have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? Isn't that something? But that's the attitude of today, of many men in high places. Who is Lord over me? I say what I want and I do what I want. I remember a sister in New York, she's now with the Lord. And she said, I just speak my mind. If I feel a certain way, I just speak my mind. I don't have a piece of my mind. I said, sister, be very careful. If you give away pieces of your mind, you're going to end up with Alzheimer's disease. Keep your mind to yourself. Don't give away any of it. With our tongue we will prevail. And that's what they think. Our lips are our own. We say what we want to say. And they're saying it in the government. I don't know how many of you listen, but I listen each evening to what's going on in the nation. The contest between the president and the Congress. There's no agreement. Among the congressmen and congresswomen, there's no agreement. Terrible. And you know the word of God tells us about that. Nation against nation. Fine, that's one thing. Kingdom against kingdom. Kingdom against the same itself. And we've got it in this country. They can't get along. Drunkenness. Oh my. What a sin. What a work. Drunkenness. I speak to you young people because I was once young. And I've seen a lot of things. When you go to these affairs and you feel led to go, don't drink. I remember a young boy, 19 years of age. He went to a Saturday night party. They served alcohol. Now there are at least two kinds of alcohol that people drink. I'll call the names. You don't have to remember the name. Methyl alcohol and ethyl alcohol. Ethyl is the one that most people drink. That's the one that kills you over years. Methyl alcohol, that's a bad one. This young man took a drink of alcohol, didn't know what it was on a Saturday night, woke up on the Sunday morning totally blind from alcoholic poisoning. Never will see again. Nerves of the eyes completely destroyed. Young people, I know you don't drink. Don't start. And don't do it to be courteous and to fit in. Well, they used to laugh at me. At scientific meetings, you know, they always serve what they call a collation. And the collation consisted largely of alcohol. And I would come in, oh, here comes Garnes. He only drinks water. Anything wrong with it? Most of them are dead. And I think of two of them. One died of a severe alcoholic destruction of his liver. Arthur Garnes only drank water. Stay away from alcohol. I have a little poem here called Alcohol, the Great Remover. Someone has said that alcohol will remove stains from summer clothing. Is that true? But stains from summer clothing are not the only thing that alcohol will remove. Alcohol will remove the stains, all right, but it will remove the summer clothes too. And also other clothes, autumn clothes and winter clothes. Alcohol will remove good food from the dinner table and shoes from the baby's feet. It will remove happiness from the home and then remove the possibility of ever returning. It will remove smiles from the face and laughter from the lips of innocent children. It will remove books from the arms and hopes from the hearts of young boys and girls. It will remove stains and leave pain. It will remove fame and leave shame. It will remove plenty and leave poverty. It will remove honor and leave humiliation. It will remove fine homes and leave hovels. It will remove everything great or small that makes life worthwhile. It will remove a man's name from the book of life and remove from his heart all hope of salvation. alcohol will permanently remove all joy and gladness from this life and from the life to come. Stay away from it. Don't taste it. Don't be courteous. Don't be social. Don't fit in. Fit out. Do what I did. I'm still here. And as I mentioned, most of those fellows, to the best of my knowledge, are all gone. I have another one here. The bar. The saloon. Most of you don't know what a saloon is. See, when I was a boy, we didn't really say bar. We said saloon. The saloon is sometimes called a bar, and that's true. A bar to heaven, a door to hell. Whoever named it well. A bar to manliness and wealth, a door to want and broken health. A bar to honor, pride, and fame, a door to sin and grief and shame. A bar to home, a bar to prayer, a door to darkness and despair. A bar to honor, useful life, a door to brawling, senseless strife. A bar to all that's true and brave, a door to every drunkard's grave. A bar to joys that home imparts, a door to tears and aching hearts. A bar to heaven, a door to hell. Whoever named it well. Alcohol is a bar. And it's served in bars. My time is about up, isn't it? Revelings. Oh, my. You know what revelings are? Sky's the limit. Do whatever you want to do. I've never been to a reveling party, but they tell me what it's like. You do what you want. You dress the way you want. And you're mostly undressed. And you cohort with anybody that you want to. Carousing. I think I've said enough. The works of the flesh. In the will of the Lord, at our next meeting, we'll speak of the fruit, one fruit, with 9 different tastes. Fruit of the Spirit. In conclusion, read with me certain verses, please. Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. First Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 3. Ye are yet fleshly, whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, you are fleshly. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Verse 13. Who is a wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the goodness of his manner of living his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual. Where there is envying and strife, there is also confusion and evil work. These things we are to avoid. Colossians 3 and 5. I see some pages are still turning. Take your time. Colossians 3 and 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify these things. The last one, 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, lay them aside. Lay aside the works of the flesh. And in the will of the Lord, we're going to look at the fruit. Not fruits, fruit. Of the Spirit. May the Lord bless us all. Number 405. Now, I have never heard us sing this. And brother, if you think we're not able to sing it, we just read the words. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between. Don't let the flesh between.